morning. It's great to be back, to see you again. I have to be careful with my time here, right, Nathan? Right? Because I might be speaking, and when I see people leaving, then it's time to stop also, right? Is that?
When you smell the hamburgers.
Okay, I'll do my best, all right? When I went back from here 2 weeks ago, my wife said, "You didn't say anything about our family." I say, "Oh, that's really true." So now you met my favorite second son, and I have, as you said, the favorite first son, who is a nurse. So he should be working now, because usually he works on the weekends at St. Luke's Hospital in Bethlehem. And I have a favorite daughter, as I said too, that now should be also working, because she's the minister of worship at Soul City Church. Did I say that when I was here? I don't think I said that, right? She's the minister of worship at Soul City Church in Chicago, and they have a service at 9 o'clock, so should be now, right? Is it now? 10:40 here? So she should be working now, and maybe singing there. And if you want to check her, just go to Facebook, put Soul City Church there. You can see my favorite daughter singing. And I praise God for her. Praise God for our children, for the way that he has blessed our family. Our oldest son, by the way, has 7 children. The oldest is 17, just bought a car not too long ago. And he's working, studying and working as well. And my youngest is, how old is she? Penelope is not even 1 year old yet, I think. So anyway, praise God for our grandkids, 8 grandkids. Isn't that a great blessing? Those of you who have grandkids, isn't it? Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, I don't have too much time again, and I have a lot of things to share, so let's see how we can do regarding this sharing. Now, you saw that in Chad, where Fernando's going, I don't think there's panera bread there, right? Or Outback Steakhouse in that city. In Masakori, right? And the Kanembu, it's a group that comes, I think, originally from Nigeria. And anyway, very fascinating story. And so please, if you can remember the Kanembu people, to pray for them, that God will prepare their hearts to receive the team that is already getting ready to go to get there. Now, I chose a text that I have preached many times before, and every time I preach is different. And so when I preach, also I preach for me. So I need this today, and I hope that it's going to be the same response from you, that you also need this. Isaiah chapter 6. When I say Isaiah chapter 6, I think I would suggest to you that you'd be so familiar with this text that, okay, Isaiah chapter 6. And you have heard already a message on Isaiah chapter 6, I assume. Isaiah chapter 6, a great passage that has a lot, very, very meaningful lessons for us to think about. And I want to summarize those lessons as much as I can in my time that I have here this morning. Isaiah chapter 6. But before we get there, maybe it would be good to read Isaiah chapter 1, so just a few verses there for you to get the picture of what's going on here in the book. In Isaiah chapter 1 says, "The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." So these 4 kings. "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know me. My people does not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption." Wow. "They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their hearts, their back on him." And in chapter 5, we see several woes. There Isaiah said, "Woe to this nation, woe this, woe that." And then in chapter 5 also, verse 13, the Lord has also the sentence regarding these people. "Therefore, my people, will go into exile for lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. He said, my people will go into exile. So when God says something like this, guess what? What's going to happen? Right? The people are going to go to exile. So Isaiah is called by the Lord, and his response, you have heard that before, is, here am I, send me. How did it happen? Let me read for you quickly also Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, with which he had taken tongues from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And then he said, go and tell these people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of these people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Then I said, for how long, O Lord? And he answered, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tent remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be stump in the land. Wow. So much in this passage, isn't it? Usually when I speak about it, I don't speak about this last part too much because I spend so much time in the first part. Then the second one, I have like a three scenes here, three segments. I spend so much time in the first and the second that the last I don't have too much time to speak about. I just want to speak a little bit about this last part here. With this kind of picture, by the way, when people join FIM, I mentioned FIM, we give flexibility for missionaries to do whatever God called them to do. So we ask them, what is your vision? And they bring what they envision as the result of their ministry. If they go somewhere to plant a church, they envision a church planted with possibly other churches around, as we have missionaries in Mexico. He planted a church, and have from that church, several churches have been planted. So a great vision of fruit, right? What would be the Isaiah's vision here? Because he said, when he heard the call, go and tell these people, cause their heart to be calloused until the cities lie ruined. So Isaiah was not called for an exciting kind of ministry in the sense of seeing a lot of fruit, as you would like to see, right? But there is a remnant. There is a remnant. And Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen, right? So I think we go for the remnant, for those who are chosen. Hard, hard ministry. And we see Jesus also performing miracles, and people did not believe. And then John says, this is to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. These people will hear, but they are blind. They won't respond. So, with this, would you go? Would you go? Why would you go? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Maybe he didn't hear the contract first. Maybe he said, here am I, send me. And then God said, showed him the fine print. But Isaiah would go anyway. He would go anyway. Because even though we love the people, we want to see the people saved. The main thing, in my view, is not the people. It doesn't sound too good, right? The people, very important, of course. But the main thing is Isaiah's experience. Isaiah's experience. What happened? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. So, I think it's like us. Many times we go to church just thinking about having a good time, having a picnic or something like this afterwards. We're not thinking about having an encounter with God, right? But here, this is what happened with Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, when I was here last time, I asked you, did you choose to be born the first time? Did you choose to be born the second time? And the answer is no, right? I think it's the same thing with Isaiah. He wasn't thinking about it, and God revealed himself to him. Or the Apostle Paul, when he was persecuting Christians, what happened? He was going persecuting Christians, and then suddenly he saw a big light, a light that put him down, right? Isaiah had an encounter with the Lord. He really got to know God in a very, very special way. And I think when God said, my people will go into exile because of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge of him. Knowledge in the sense of not having heard about him, but because they did, but not submitting to him, not yielding to him. It's like the people of Romans chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul says, having knowledge of God, they despised that knowledge and then decided to worship a creature instead of the Creator. Therefore, God gave them, okay, do whatever you do, whatever you do. And then, of course, with that comes the consequence. So Isaiah here had a special encounter with the Lord when he said, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, in the train of his robe, filled the temple. Now, interesting here, in this passage, when it says, I saw the Lord, the word for Lord there, if you check your Bible, is L, capital L, small O, small R, small D, Adonai in Hebrew, Lord. That talks about sovereignty. God is sovereign on the throne. Amen? And that's very important, by the way, to think that God is sovereign. To have that realization and that understanding that he is sovereign, his purposes won't be thwarted, as the Bible says. And so for us, I think that's very comforting, isn't it? Whatever might be happening in our lives, the Lord is sovereign. He has a purpose for us. Amen? And then when it comes later, he sees the angels proclaiming to one another, flying six wings. Should they cover their faces? Should they cover their feet? Should they fly and say to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The Lord here is capital, all capital letters. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's significant. I don't know if your Bible is the same way. In my Bible, that's how it is, right? It talks about Yahweh. Yahweh, the Lord. That's my name, he said. That's my name, Yahweh. I like that. Because God has a name. Sometimes it's translated Jehovah, right? Jehovah. Yahweh. By the way, when you say hallelujah, you know what you're saying? Hallelujah. Praise ye Yahweh. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh. Praise the Lord. So the angels are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holiness. God is separate from anything else. There's nothing like him. So if you talk about somebody good, there's no one like good like him. Amen? So all the attributes that Nathan's going to be talking about on Wednesday, holiness, of all those attributes, holy, holy, holy. And when you say holy, 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 when the Hebrew wants to say something that's really holy, he says three times, right? Holy, holy, holy. Superlative. There's no comparison. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty on his throne. I want to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, and I wish I had the time here to share more experience regarding the importance of this vision that Isaiah had that I believe you need to have with you all the time, as much as possible, to try to imagine what Isaiah imagined, the holiness of God here in Isaiah chapter 6. he started talking about the year King Uzziah, that king, his body died. I think Uzziah was Isaiah's friend. Uzziah, by the way, he was a good king, but at the end, he became proud, and he decided to do something that he was not supposed to do, to get to the temple to offer sacrifice to God, that only incense to God, that only the priests were supposed to do. And the priest came and rebuked him, and he became angry, and because of that, leprosy came to him right away. And he was ostracized, and he died like that, ostracized. Started well, but didn't finish well. But he was a good king in the past, and then he died. Anyway, thinking about king, I saw the king, Isaiah said, the sovereignty of God. And that kingship, Yahweh, and all the attributes. By the way, let me share this with you quickly. The Lord, when Moses, before he went to the promised land, he said, I can't do this without you going with me. Show me your glory. The same with Fernando. You can't do that. Or any missionary, you can't do that if God doesn't go with him. Because it's tough. It is tough, isn't it? You saw how life is there in Chad. And sometimes people think about the glamorous life of a missionary. I think many young people even have an experience of missionaries who go to the field, don't last too long. Because it is hard, it's very hard. Anyway, Moses said, I can't do this unless you go with me. Show me your glory. This is Exodus 33, verse 18. And then the Lord answered that prayer, and the angel passes in front of Moses, proclaiming the name of the Lord. So the glory of the Lord has everything to do with his name, who he is, the name of the Lord. It says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. So this is who our Lord is. And much more than that. I think it's time for me to stop, right? That's okay. No, nothing personal here. I know that my time is up. Anyway, let me finish that. I know that. Isaiah had that experience seeing the Lord. Because of that, he saw the condition of his heart. And then he said, instead of saying, woe to the people, as we tend to do, comparing ourselves to other people, he said, woe to me, I am ruined because my eyes have seen the King. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I abide among a people of unclean lips. This past Thursday, our director and I visited a guy who gave a contribution of a car to the FIM. And then in this restaurant, there was a waiter. I love to witness to waiters and waitresses. So there was a waitress there. And the conversation started with spiritual matters. And I asked her, have you been born again? And she said, no. Okay, so do you know what it means? No. Okay, so I started to explain to her. And as I explained to her about being born again, you know what happened to her? She started crying. And then she said, I said, you can be born again today. And then she said, I have a lot of anger. That was very revealing, very revealing. Because I think the same thing happened with Isaiah here. When he saw the Lord, he said, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. So we do need to recognize who we are, right? Our sinfulness, and repent. The Lord will forgive us as he did with Isaiah. Your guilt has been taken away. Your sin has been atoned for because Jesus died on the cross to forgive us. Amen? And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will go and whom we will send? And then he said, here am I, send me. So in this text, we have this great vision of Isaiah that was life-changing for him, shook his life, and then transformed him, and then he was able to respond and offer himself to go and do what God had called him to do, even though it was very hard. Because he even said, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? So, of course, the Lord is calling each one of you to have a role in missionary work. Doesn't mean necessarily to go to Chad, but it might mean to go to somebody, because God is sending people today all over the world, here to the States, right? Might be going here, interacting with somebody, like Fernando is interacting with people from Afghanistan, right there in Allentown. this person from Afghanistan called us yesterday, called him on the phone. His family back there really struggling, even a brother who was recruited by Taliban. That's very sad, very sad, very hard. But anyway, great opportunity for Fernando to be involved with this person and to share the gospel, to share God's love with him. Amen? And God wants to use your life as well. But for us to use you and me, we need to have that vision of the glory and the majesty of God, and then respond to his calling every day. Here am I. Send me. Soccer field, anywhere. Restaurant, anywhere. And proclaim his love. Thank you for your patience. Time for the picnic, right, Nathan? But before that, we need to going to come and give the benediction. Okay, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's really great to see you again and to share with you. And I was saying to Fernando before the service, before I came here, said, I like this church. I really do. I like you. Thank you very much.
We'll be dismissed in prayer, and then we will get set up for our picnic. Stand together as we close in prayer. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.